Amen. Please be seated. All right. Whew. Tall trees, deep roots. We're continuing on in our series in the first four chapters of the book of Acts. And today's message is called Preparing for God's Vision. And I want to start out with a story. As you guys know, we're looking with these tall trees, the need for the depth of the roots. And we want to be the kind of believers who can stand the trials, the winds of the challenges of life. And as I was preparing for the message today, I spent a lot of time going through a lot of old photos, because I've gone through some photos and stuff that we've put up here of our time in Uganda as we've looked at the tall trees of the impenetrable forest. And one of the pictures I have there is a picture of, well, first let me say this. There's certain things that make you think back, right? There's certain things that make you think back to when your family was young. And my son Thomas has been visiting with us, and he's heading back to school today after church. So it's been wonderful to have him. But as I was looking through these pictures, one of the pictures is the very first day that we got Thomas, that we started the process of adoption. And I look back at that and just the joy on our faces as God answers a prayer again. And you think of those times where your children look to you and they love being with you and they love being by your side. And part of our journey with God is that relationship with God the Father, where we love being with Him. We love being in His presence, and there's that joy. And then there's the part of the relationship that's also very important, the power, the strength of God, the fact that we can trust Him. And I was thinking back at times with Thomas. Julie would get a little nervous, but I'd take Thomas and I'd throw him up in the air. And I wouldn't just kind of throw him like a foot in the air. I'd bend my knees down to get a good launch, because Thomas loved to fly. He loved to fly. And I'd bend my knees, and I'd throw him up, and he would go way up there. We have pictures of him above the roof level, because I threw him above the top of the house, and then he comes back down and I catch him. And every time he's in the air, he was smiling, totally trusting that Dad was going to catch him, and I did. And so and as soon as I would stop doing it, I'd have to stop because I'd get tired. But while I'm doing it, he's just full of joy and pleasure and just enjoying every moment. And both aspects are, I think, an important relationship with God, of the loving, caring, gentle Father, but also the Father of strength, the Father that we can trust when things are a little iffy, right? But we can trust it. And you know what? I didn't drop Thomas by the grace of God, but I'm not perfect, right? But what about us trusting a perfect Heavenly Father who never drops, who never makes the mistake, who there's not even that, He's all-powerful, all-knowing. There's two sides of God we need to see. And at this point, I just really want us to kind of have that picture in mind as I read to you from the Word of God. I'm going to read, first of all, through it all at once, and then we're going to break it down a little bit. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, the son of Zelot, and Judas, the son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled, in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He has one of our number shared in our ministry. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong. His body burst, and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this. So they called that field in their language Al-Kadam, that is, field of blood. For said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning with John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. Now, I think it's really important to fully understand this scripture. I think it's so important that we understand why it is where it is. And so we need to see the powerful deep roots of God's character. And also we need to see the tall branches that rejoice about experiencing God's beauty. We need to see not only the sweet, gentle ministry of the Holy Spirit as a comforter, but we also need to see the awesome purpose that God had in the glory of Jesus being shown. So it says at the beginning here, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem for the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk. And when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present, and then it talks about who those were that were present. And they all joined together in prayer. And guys, just think about what's happened. So remember, there's the what just happened that we went over last week. There's the promise of what's coming. The Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 2, what comes? The Holy Spirit. And so we've got this scripture that's sandwiched right in between these two areas where it talks about the Holy Spirit. And why is there all this concern with how Judas died and his field for the blood money and how he was replaced by Matthias? Why is this so important? And the way I answer this is to look at the structure. It's important to understand how is this set up and why is it where it is. So let me show you what I mean and how I come to the conclusion that I came to for really having the focus that we have this morning, showing the invincibility of the Spirit's purpose and the Spirit's zeal for the glory of Jesus. The glory of Jesus. And the first thing I notice here is as these people are coming, the first thing they're turning to is what? Prayer, right? Prayer. They're going together and they're going to... And Jesus has been taken up. He's been taken up and now we're here and Judas betrayed Jesus and now we've only got 11. And, well, we've got the Holy Spirit, right? And the promise of the Holy Spirit that's coming. And so one of the things that they're really going for is trusting in God and going to prayer, and that's a good thing. And you've got a lot of people who in their walks with the Lord really focus on the experience of knowing Jesus, of experiencing daily. But there's also something that's important, which is God has certain things that He set, that He said that He will accomplish, that He does. He is very specific in His word. And so it says that as those guys are going to God in prayer, then it says in verse 15, in those days Peter stood up amongst the believers, a group numbering about 120. As there was about 120 people. There was the 12, there was the 3, the 1, the 3, the 12, the 70, and the 120. And so of people who would follow Jesus all around and spend time with him. But it says here that, and said, brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled. You know, one of the challenges here is that at this time, a lot of people are going to be turning to not only God through prayer, but depending on the Spirit, depending on what God is doing. And what Peter's doing here is he's saying, you know what? What God has said in his word is important. And we need to focus. If we're going to experience God to the full, we need to be steeped in his word and in his truth. And so he brings us back. The scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke about long ago through David concerning Judas. So 1,000 years before this, the scripture had been talked about what was going to happen with Judas. Verse 17, he was one of a number who shared in our ministry. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field, and there he fell headlong. His body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. You know, he hanged himself. And after he hanged himself, the corpse just stayed there, and eventually it fell and splat, and just, This man who had followed Jesus all those years. Everyone in verse 19, everyone in Jerusalem heard about this. So they called that field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms. And here it is. This is referring back to David in the book of Psalms. And it comes from Psalm 69:25. May his place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in it. And also from Psalms 109:8, may another take his place of leadership. You guys notice first that in verse 16 it says, the scripture had to be fulfilled through David. This has been taking place for a long time. And that seems to me to be the key to unlock the rest of this paragraph. So what scripture had to be filled? And it's these two Old Testament from Psalms. And Psalms 69:25 says, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it. And that word is fulfilled in how Judas died and the purchase of the field for his blood money that became a desolate field of blood. And then Psalms 109:8, may another take his place of leadership and that the word may be fulfilled through Judas. Judas was replaced by Matthias. Because all that is to say this, it is so important for us to look at the invincible purpose of the Holy Spirit. God's purpose, the Holy Spirit has a plan. And no matter what we are going through, here's this small band of this, the beginning of what's going to become the church. And Jesus has just been taken away. They didn't know that Jesus was going. Jesus left and he said, I'm going to send a counselor, the Holy Spirit, God himself, and he's going to be the one who directs your paths. And so they're praying and they're in question about what's going to happen to us now that Jesus is gone. Because what were they expecting Jesus to do? Deliver them from who? The Romans, right? They were expecting to get their leadership back, to be in charge on the world. And they weren't. It was so much bigger than that. But they had all these questions. They didn't know what to do. God has a purpose for his people. And his purpose, man, his purpose is incredible. And it goes beyond what we think it's going to be. And so here we see this power of God being given to his people. And he's preparing them for what he's going to be doing. And it's important that they experience the right leadership, the right heading. And remember, there's only 11 apostles at this point, disciples, and they need 12. Why is 12 important? Well, we've got the 12 tribes, don't we? We've got the 12 tribes. And those 12 tribes, man, that's God's plan. And here we see that not only was the 12 tribes, but God has chosen from the beginning of who specifically it's going to be and what he's going to do. So no matter what you are going through right now, as we've just finished, the new year has happened. We've experienced being together with family. We've experienced some of the challenges that go with life. And some of you right now are thinking, man, what do I do? How is God going to be faithful in this situation that I find myself in? Guys, one of the things it's really easy to miss during Christmas time is the challenges of life in other people. Because I come to Christmas and, man, we have family members coming home. We have a chance to be together. We went on a trip. We got some time to be in Leavenworth and just enjoy being together. And for a lot of people, Christmas, the New Year's, it's a reminder of what we don't have. This was the first year that we had it without my mother, and the reminder of her absence was incredible during Christmas. Things were different. And I really missed Mom during the holidays. And so we all have different experiences. Some of you are going through a hard time right now, and this has been a reminder of some of the challenges that you're facing. But I want to encourage you, God has a plan, and it's a plan that He's put in place long ago. And He's in charge, and He's all-powerful and all-knowing. He knows what you're going through. Goes on to say in verse 21, therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning with John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of His resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, You know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two You have chosen to take over His apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. So they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. A couple things come to my mind when you notice this. So is God, like, into gambling? What do you mean they took lots? Is this just by chance? Well, a couple things. First, before the Holy Spirit, this was in the Old Testament, this was one of the ways that they looked at really hearing the Word of God. But they wouldn't just say, God, we're going to take 1,000 people. And no, first of all, who was traveling with Jesus? Who are our possibilities to choose from? And out of that 120, there were two names that they'd prayed, they had studied, they had looked at, and they said, these two guys, we feel confident in both of these men. So God, we're asking that You direct our paths with this. And so they do this, and they cast lots, and it falls on Matthias. And he's chosen. He's chosen as the one to lead the people. A couple things that stick out to me here, first of all, is it had to be somebody who was there from the baptism, John's baptism, to the time when Jesus was taken up. Why is that important? It had to be someone who was there who saw Jesus in His ministry, who also witnessed the death, burial, and the resurrection, and got to see Jesus after He was risen. Because of that, guys, is where our authority and our power comes from, is a risen Christ. And so when we come to Christ, we come to a risen Savior. And all that is holy, all that is, it comes from Him and His purpose and His plan for our lives. We can trust in it. You can trust that God knows what you're going through. You can trust that He has a plan, and He's had it all along. I want us to also consider this. Look at the story from the disciples' point of view. There was 12 of them. Have you ever had a 12 is like a basketball team, right? You've got your five players, your seven substitutes, but you've got these you've got this team that you prepare with. And I think of all the years that I played basketball with the 12 guys that we would have. We not only played basketball, but we did things off the court. We spent time together. One of the things that our coach understood was if we got along off the court, we would do better on the court. And so imagine for 3 years, you're one of these 12 guys and you're going around with Jesus and everybody's, you know, having arguments sometimes. Something happens and a teaching happens and one of the guys turns to another disciple and he says, listen, I'm good. I think when it all said and done, did you see how I responded in that situation? I'm going to be sitting closer to Jesus than you are when all said and done. And the other one said, no. And they would argue about who was the greatest among them. And there would be this division at times. And I think it's one of the things that really strikes me, and it just really stands out to me, is about the unity that we see here. And how they're going back to how Scripture, yes, it had to be fulfilled, but these people are turning to God, and they're turning to God together. And they're together in a room, and they're waiting, and they're spending time, and the Holy Spirit is ministering to them together. Husbands, wives, I want to ask you this, for those of you who are married. When you've got big decisions to make, does God speak to one of you to do one thing and to another one to do another? The two become one. And if both husband and wife are following the Lord and listening to the Holy Spirit, as you're moving forward, God's going to be speaking the same thing to you in unity, right? Because he's directing your paths and the two have become one. And so the challenge is if one is hearing one thing and one is hearing another, either one or two of them aren't listening. And these disciples have a history of arguing amongst who's the greatest among them. And that's their past. But here they're coming together and they're realizing, you know what, we need to be 12 strong. And Peter's telling them, guys, we've got to get back to what's important. Yes, we need to turn to God in prayer, and we need to have the experience of the Holy Spirit. And as the tree has the branches that reach out and show the glory of God, and often in the church, we have people who experience with God is kind of the focus, their experience with God. But a lot of people who have that, and a few denominations whose focus is on experiencing God, miss out on the power of the truth of the Word of God. And to freely have the full experience of God, there has to be the roots going in deep into the truth. And the truth is that, guys, God had a plan. And we see it in Psalms in two places, that he had prepared a day like today, as today. And he's given us a direction, and we need to follow him. We need to go back into his word to discover what he has for us for what's upcoming. And guys, as you are going through the challenges that you're going through, as you're just going through life in general, the winds are blowing, the challenges are there. And if we don't have our roots deeply put into the word of God, and going back to his truth, when it hits, we're going to miss it. And here Peter understood the importance of what it meant to have the 12 tribes of Israel represented. To have this blessing that God had prepared from the very beginning. See, God's not a God of confusion. He's not a God of confusion. He's a God of sound mind, of discipline, of specifics. A God of order, yes. Amen. And then it's amazing because when they go to trust God and Peter shares his word, it says then they prayed, Lord, you know everybody's heart. I love that. Lord, you know everybody's heart. Because God knows your heart. He knows what you need. He not only knows what you're going through, He knows where you're going. He knows where you're going to be tomorrow. And so he gives us enough to deal today. You know, so often we live in the past or we live in the future. We live on the pains of the past, of what's happened to us or happened to people we love, or the fear of what's yet to come. And God is always present with us through a relationship with him in the present. And it says that he knows our hearts. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen. Which of these two you have chosen. Do you think both were good men? I do. I think the reason they were both brought forward is they fit. Both of them would have been a good choice, but one was God's choice. And guys, as we're really looking at, man, what's God's purpose for us as a church? What's God's purpose for us here and now? Not only generally as the church, but specifically for us as Community Bible Fellowship. God has a plan, but it's a very specific plan. And the question to us is, are we willing to seek his will for it? Or are we going to go forward and do our thing and ask him to bless it? Because one gets us in a world where things are dependent on us to make things work. And the other is where God, we are following the Holy Spirit. We are following God's truth. We are following his calling. And I want to encourage you with this in closing. Each one of you has a gift or gifts specifically given to you at the point of salvation. Where God gave you gifts to what? Why are we given gifts? To build up the body. We are given gifts not for ourselves, but to build up the body of Christ. To build up the church. Both in our general, in our specific church, but also the general church. We're called to be involved. And I want to encourage you, if you're serving only outside of the church, you need to keep doing that. But there's a time and a place where God is saying, you know what? I want you to serve here too. And if you're only serving inside of the church, it's not enough. God wants you to be in the world, but not of the world. God wants you to be serving and giving. And this is where we prepare and equip ourselves to be the church, to be the message of Christ to the people around us. And so if you've only got people that you associate with in the church, something in your life needs to change. Because we are called to be in ministry. And God has a plan for us. And here's the thing, guys. It's very specific. It's very specific. So where does he want us? And the number one thing is that I would look at is, what has he already given us? What has he shown us? We've got what? We've got young people in this community, right? We have a community. The community that we live in, that our church is in right here, there's a lot of young people and less parents. When Julie and I served in Uganda, when we were at New Hope, it was at with orphans. It was roughly around 450 orphans and no parents. And so the staff and people who came in, our call was to bring the fatherhood, the parenting, the love of Christ and family back into these children's lives. And one of the things that we're called to do is figure out, how do we come alongside our community? How do we reach in to their needs? Not where we would feel nice about being helpful. Oh, doesn't it feel good to help people? Well, if it's not really helping them, it might make us feel good. But it doesn't show the love of Christ, because the love of Christ has a specific plan that meets the needs of people. And so we've got a community that's a specific community. It's a multicultural community. Praise God. Praise God we have a church that's a multicultural community church. Praise God that we look around and we don't see everybody looks the same. Everybody acts the same, has the same lifestyle, has the same ways, that the same financial situations. We are truly blessed in being extremely diverse in every way that you can imagine. This is what the church is called to be. The people in the community coming together. And so there's going to be some opportunities coming up where, man, we're going to need you guys getting involved more. And there's a good percentage of you that are super involved. And what I'm saying today is, you guys don't need to do more. What I'm saying is, for those of you who, it's been a season of training and equipping. Some of you are a little bit newer here. You've been coming for a year or a little less or a little more. And you've been starting to get your feet wet and keep trying different ministries. You know what's great about trying a new ministry? When you get involved for a short period of time. See if it's what God has for you, if it fits your gifting. If not, guess what? Find something else where your gifting is truly used. And one of the ways you can really see if your gifting is if you're where you're supposed to be, when you serve, is it bringing you joy? Does it make you feel alive? When it's done, do you need a whole week to recover before you have to do it next week? That's not the ministry for you. But when you serve, it doesn't mean there's not going to be a cost, because there's always a cost. But when you serve, that cost is filled with your spirit being made alive. And yes, there's a cost, but the blessing is so much greater, because you got to see your gifts that were given to you by God used for His purpose. And here's a church that's just getting ready to start out, and they've got to get the right leadership. They've got to get the right people in the right places. Guys, God's wanting us to have the right people in the right places, and He's prepared that in advance. You being here is not a mistake. It's not by chance. He has you here for a reason. And this community is hungry for something that's of real, something of value. And we get to bring the meaning of eternity, the meaning of life. And we get to bring the message of eternal life. You know, I've had a talk with a number of you about what God is saying to you personally, how He's wanting you to get more involved in different areas. And it has been so exciting. I've had other talks with others of you where you have this understanding that, man, we're doing some good things here, but I feel like God's calling us to really try some new things and serve in new ways. And you know what? You're absolutely right. We need to be both doing what we've been doing. There's a few things we might need to let go of, but there's some new things that we need to grab onto. And I can honestly say, I have a strong feeling what some of those new things are. I think a big area of focus for us as a ministry is young people. I really believe that God is asking us, man, we've got all these resources. We live in a community with a lot of young people with needs, with desires, with the ministry that meets on Tuesday nights here from 6 to 7:30. It's anywhere from 20 to 35 kids. There's some incredible needs, guys. There's going to be some opportunities coming up for us to serve and to give and to do and to be involved. And I want to encourage you with what Aaron's leading with our teens downstairs. Man, be prayerful for Aaron, for the ministry, for our teens. Do you understand what our teens are going through? The challenges that our teens are facing right now are different than the challenges that I faced when I was a teenager. With this new media, there's a lot more opportunity for the enemy just to get right in there. The same challenges, but magnified. And so we're going to need to be praying for our young people. We're going to need to be focused on our young people. And it means that we're going to have to give up some of our time. We're going to have to use some of our time differently. If it's truly important that our young people grow up in the truth of the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ, then that's going to cost us. But guess what? God has a plan for us, and it's been a plan from before time. And if this is truly what he's calling us to do, if this is one of the areas that he's calling us to focus on, then he's got a specific purpose for you in that process. For some of you, it will be prayer. You won't be called to work directly with young people. For others, it may be prayer and getting involved with providing meals or being available for driving or who knows what it is. Or helping out with special events or maybe tutoring. Maybe being there. Some of you have gifts and what you know, you're good at math. We've got a lot of our young people on the Tuesday nights who are struggling in school. And they need some help. Maybe there's a way that we can come alongside them. Maybe God has that for us. I don't know. But he has a plan, and it's specific. And just like he was preparing the church back then to be called into what he's called into, he has a specific plan for us. And we need to heed it and be ready. And then when it's, okay, Matthias, it's you. But instead of Matthias, it's your name. He's saying it's you and it's this church here and it's this time here in this ministry. Man. The good news is we don't have to cast lots. We've got the Holy Spirit leading. And so as we pray, guess what's going to happen? God's going to give us a direction. We'll step into his path and then he'll give us confirmation. And guys, as was shared with you last week, financially, you guys have been unbelievable in how you've blessed the church. We've been able to do some things this year because of your generosity, because of what you've already done. God has been ministering through you already. And it's a blessing to see. So I'm excited to see what God has for us in the near future. This is going to be a good year. 2020. Let's pray that this is a year of salvation for many. For all generations. I want you to be praying. Who can you invite to church? Who can you just say, hey, I want you to come. Check it out. Guess what? Some of the people you'll invite, they won't come. That's okay. You can invite them again. And then they might not come again. And then you can invite them again. Or just be available to them. And speak into their lives as the Holy Spirit is leading you. But let's close in prayer. Father, as we look at these two areas of focus, Lord, I just pray that you be speaking very clearly to us, that our roots are not just sunk deep into the words and deeds of Jesus, as that is so important, but as we go into the truth of your word, Lord, as we seek your word for counsel and direction, then that we would respond to it and walk in your will and get involved. And Lord, often you choose to answer your prayer through your people who have just prayed. So Lord, we offer ourselves as answers to the prayer that we are praying, the prayers that we are praying. Father, we want to be involved in your church for your purpose. Father, you have a specific plan for us. And Father, we want to be those branches that reach out and touch many. And to do that, we're going to need to have our roots deep into your word, into your truth, into fellowship, into prayer, into intimacy with you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would be growing us deeper and deeper so that we can be reaching further and further out, Lord, for your purpose, for our church. And Lord, we ask for a blessing on all the churches in this community, Lord. We ask that you would be speaking through them, that you'd be working through them. Father, we ask for more and more opportunities to work together and to be the fellowship of Christ, to be the gospel, to be the church that is reaching out, not only as our one church, but as the churches can reach out in community together. Lord, it's not about our church. It's not this kingdom that we're building. It's your kingdom. And so, Father, work through all your churches, Lord, that speak through the word of God, that hold to your truth. And, Lord, we pray that you would be directing their paths too. Father, I pray for each one here that they would know that God knows where they're at, and he would be directing their path, that he is directing their path. And, Father, that they can trust you, that you're trustworthy. And you've had a plan from the very beginning for each one of your people, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Did remember.